G'day everybody, welcome to our fortnightly live talk. Today we've got quite a few good questions there and a bit of discussion on the site, so some good interesting questions. So yeah, I'll get into them. Just quickly before I start though, just talk a little bit about what's been happening. I've just been down to Wagga Wagga where I did a demonstration for quite a few people, which was really good demo down there, and the people in Wagga supported it really well, and we did a clinic there, and we're just back here to start a, people arriving today for a 4-day clinic here, which is a pop-up clinic that was due to cancellation from another, my Victorian run. So we've got a clinic starting here. And apart from that, all's good. We've had really good rain up this way, great spring, so yeah, looking great. So anyway, okay, everybody, I'll go get into the questions. So first of all, Sky's got a question. I have a mare that is not 100% connected with me. She does everything I ask, groundwork-wise. I can ride her. I can trail ride her, but I know by her anxiousness and always wanting to leave, she's only appeasing me. What are some exercises we can work on? Well, the groundwork is interesting. By readjusting your groundwork, you can get better connection. That's without even working on... You know, there's so many things to work on, but what I try and work on as a principal is everything we're doing with our horse education-wise, or just even the good stuff that we do, whether it be the scratching or just connecting with our horses and just doing some things that don't require them to do a lot, kind of makes them feel good. So with your groundwork and everything, is she thinking about it? That's the first thing. Is she thinking and searching when she's doing it, or is she moving away from pressure constantly and you're just kind of moving as you hold her up with the pressure, then you sort of send her the other way with the pressure and things like that. If that's the type of groundwork that's happening, then chances are you might find that she's carrying anxiety to your questions, because a lot of times in training, there's a lot of pressure after the question. So... what I mean is, if we ask a question and the horse doesn't do it, we add more pressure, and the horse ends up yielding away from the pressure, but that yields away kind of worried about the pressure. So that causes a separation in our horses. So if your groundwork has a lot of that in it, then basically then you will have a bad feeling in the horse, which will cause more disconnection. So, you know, on the videos there, you'll see lots of leading videos and getting horses to think about things and things like that. And even the Liberty work, with some of the more recent ones where I've got some troubled Liberty horses that have been doing Liberty, of getting them to think about what they're doing so they connect better. The other thing is, when you're with her, watch closely how connected she is, as in if you put your hand underneath her muzzle, is she interacting with you? Is she kind of, you know, if she's just kind of checking out a little, so one for instance, she might be a gazer, she might just gaze off into the distance. She might just be kind of constantly sort of elsewhere, a little bit shut down. Basically, you've got to somehow get her attention. So whatever you do has got to be big enough to get her attention. And then when she's searching a little bit, you kind of hope that she searches across to you and connects. Sometimes I do a lesson where I get somebody else over at a distance, you know, just with a flag or something, and just to get the horse a little anxious about, well, what's that over there? And then when the horse is searching, you just kind of wait there very centered, and they come up and they connect with you. And if she's kind of always a little bit disconnected, chances are she's not feeling truly safe with you. So I do a little bit of the work where you sort of get her attention. Here I am. And get her thoughts away from the other stuff that's going on, whether it be gazing, just zoning out, and get her thoughts towards you. And then basically just sort of be there, present. Don't sort of rub on her. Don't kind of come in and do a lot with her. Just let her find you a little and start to feel good with you, okay? And so that connection works really good. With the riding, so if she's sort of zoning out, like a good lesson I like to do is called island hopping, but basically I walk up to my horse, and when they get a little kind of tight and anxious, you want to sort of say, oh, I can see that, so I'm going to step away. I can see you're anxious. Or disconnecting, I'm going to step away and take the pressure off you until they're actually softly kind of connected with you. Some horses, you can distract them to bring them back a little. But when you're putting the foot in the stirrup, just watch her closely and see if she hardens up, she gets tight around the muzzle, or, you know, the ears kind of get sort of, you know, hard and kind of still, and her eye starts to harden, all those little signs of anxiety. Maybe just take your foot out of the stirrup and keep working on that until she softens a little there and allows you on. And then, you know, go back to the start and read her a little. And when you get on her, sit on her and ground yourself, just ground there. And she might be fidgeting, she might be in, like at the last clinic when we were in Wagga, there was a couple of horses, I think, you know, I made someone sit on them for half an hour before they moved. And I don't like sitting on a still horse, but in the educational process, it's important to show the horse, you know, what it's like to be with you, and you've got to build that island of connection before you go on a big ride or anything. So I'll sit there until a horse has kind of stopped fidgeting in the mind, stopped disconnecting, and it sort of just comes back and emotionally lets down a little bit and says, oh, I'm accepting of this rider. And then I might only take a few steps, and if that horse kind of disconnects, if I see it think away, if I see it tighten up, feel it tighten up, then I'll just stop it. I'll put it back on the island and just let it come down a little bit until that horse can go, oh, I can walk softly with you. And I do a lot of those exercises so the horse actually comes back. And basically the horse at the clinic, the one particular one I'm thinking of, the lady did just sitting on it until it just let down and relaxed. And then the afternoon when she came in, then her horse walked around soft around the arena, connected. She could stop it, stay with her. It wasn't fidgeting. It wasn't anxious. It was just kind of sort of with her. But she did a fair bit of just, I'm not going anywhere until you know that you're centered with me. And then she might need to take a few steps and get off and then get back on again and do that repetition until the horse was really calm with her and emotionally connected, feeling good when she put it on the island. So if you haven't got a place to bring a horse back to, there's no point getting a horse up. So you've got to build that first before you sort of get your horse out in a fast walk or a trot or anything like that, or out and out in the paddock. So I do a lot of that sort of thing. And then the other thing I do when the horse is a little disconnected, I might steer it. So if the horse goes, I'm out there, I say, well, why don't you come over here? So every time I feel a horse lift up and get anxious, then I'll say, why don't you follow the feel of a rein and just come over here. Here I am, connect. Or here's the new direction, and that new direction will break that thought, and then the horse will come onto the new idea. So, yeah, lots of little things like that, and I think you'll sort of, you know, have some slow success with a sometimes fast success in some cases. But, yeah, go through the videos online and just kind of have a close look at the groundwork videos and some of the later Liberty ones with troubled horses and stuff, and just kind of look at what I'm looking for in with when I work with horses, because that's really important, you know, how they're feeling about every little question we're asking. Okay, Dawn. Dawn, you're picking. Yeah, so Dawn, you're on the same sort of path there, and you know, picking back the same question, I guess. I feel like we can do it at Liberty, so I let her off, direct her around me, which she might do once, then she wanders off me. If I left the gate open. So, Dawn, just on that one, and regarding, you know, in the last question, when you're doing your Liberty, what's your horses? My Liberty starts off with, once upon a time, if it was a young horse I was training, I'd just get it to move around. Now, because I'm not in that sort of hurry to get these young horses, you know, started under saddle, when I'm working horses that are doing Liberty, I want to get serious with getting a strong, a good feeling and a strong connection at Liberty. But not only a strong connection to me, but a confidence in thinking, is I spend a fair bit of time getting them to think away and then think back and think away and then think back and get that transition soft before you even move their feet. And all you have to do is just put a little feel on them here to say that door's closed until they look away. When they look away, you step away, draw back, and they look back. Just a little exercise like that. And that really helps them, because it teaches them transition required in the mind to do Liberty. One is think away, think back. And that's your outside turn and your inside turn, but not while the feet are moving. And then basically after time, you do an outside turn and inside turn. So you do the outside turn to send the horse out, and then you do the inside turn to bring them back. But once they can think away soft and they can trust you and to come back, generally they're not so inclined to kind of wander off when they get a bit anxious or, you know, zone out, okay? If they zone out, we can draw their attention. It'll get a little stronger to draw their attention. So if the horse is not looking back as I'm stepping back and drawing, I might bang my leg and say, hey, over here, get them to think back a little stronger. But what happens in liberty that causes a bit of disconnection is sometimes we'll get stronger to send them away and quieter to draw them in. So what happens is people get a little big with a flag or a stick or energy and they send their horse away from the energy. And then they get smaller to bring them in as they sort of draw in and say, draw in and come to me. And it makes the horse feel good to come in. But you don't want the horse feeling bad going away and then feeling good to come in. And some just don't feel good coming in. They just know that's a release to pressure. So they vacuum in as you draw away. So be very careful that your horse feels good. And I think, Joe, you're listening there. We did a little bit of that with your horse to get him softer and change a few funny thoughts that he gets and just think away, think back. So the horse is not constantly looking at you with a hard eye. Anyway, that's just, yeah, just some more on that first question. And okay, Jakara. How do you get a horse to be more relaxed when other people are around? And this is an interesting one, Jakara, and unfortunately a little difficult if your horse has had a bad experience in the past with people. And so what I mean is they got a memory of bad education, being the horse scared of the people. So that has to be all addressed. So it's not necessarily just a sort of 5-minute fix. Sonny has improved so much in regards to spooking. I haven't eaten dirt for a while. That's good you haven't eaten dirt. But mind you, there's some good minerals in the dirt sometimes. So the work is definitely paying off. But when I take him to events or clinics, if someone is walking towards him or just near me or near him, they have something in their hand, example, lead rope, whip or traffic cones, they are the three things I've noticed that worry him most. He will either tense up and deaf stare the whole time until the person walks away, or he will sidestep away. But I find it's not the object that scares him. It's the person that's holding the object. As soon as the person puts the object down, he is fine and he will have a lick and chew usually. I work him around cones and swing reins over his neck. I've split reins. And doesn't seem to faze him, but when other people have them objects, he gets really worried. How can I help him relax when people have objects in their hands so hopefully he doesn't end up spooking? P.S. He's fine with people patting him. He also seems fine when I am on the ground with him as he hides behind me. Okay, so a lot of horses come to my clinic with bad memories of interactions with people. Educational interactions, frightening interactions where someone's beaten up on them or something like that, whatever it may be. And generally when a person is, Jenny put a little video on just recently. It was just a little kind of, you know, sneak peek into some clinics on just the light, normal Facebook. And there was just a little part of that where I was standing there going, this is the old horsemanship position, and where I stood with my toe pointing one way, flag standing here, flag sitting here, hand here, like I was going to guide the horse out, and the horse went, and then I stood the other way with my toe that way and flagged this one, and the horse went, okay. And that's just, that horse in that particular little thing, I made people realise that the damage we can do through education, if we're not aware how the horse is feeling all the time and how into the work that it is emotionally. So basically, that was just an example of what driving pressure can do to horses. I have a flag sitting here and I'm standing in this position. But you get a lot of horses that, you know, people have come at them with something or whatever and they don't trust people. So what I do, when I do clinics, my job is to fix red flags a lot of the time. So a lot of horses come in with a red flag, and one of those red flags is, I think you're going to chase me with something, and because you've taken away the escape route, I'm really nervous. So what I mean, taking away the escape route, say if you were going to, the horse got used to someone pushing it with a flag, and it always got used to moving away from that flag, and it kind of was okay, but it was anxious. It didn't like it, but it was not underneath the threshold, but it was not in the red zone going, oh, no, I'm really, really frightened. It would just move away with an angry look going, oh, I don't like this. But I can move over there and go around you so, you know, I'm not in a near-death experience. Well, you use the same amount of pressure with the flag and then you almost go as if you're going to guide that horse out with the flag and then stop it with the rope and say, oh, by the way, you can't run off. Then that horse suddenly gets in a mad panic because it can't escape. And it's always escaped from the pressure just a little bit. It's always had a door open. So that's how I sort of test horses, to show people how their horse felt about some of the driving pressures, especially if I see the horse feeling quite bad about it. So basically what I'm teaching a lot of horses that are nervous and skedaddle is I draw them to me and my worry, as in I'm not the person that they're supposed to be worried about, but because I might be a person holding a stick, like you're saying with your horse, the horse is worried about that. So I draw away and I keep the stick and I keep moving at the flag or whatever, and I keep leading the horse towards it a little till it kind of softens in the lead and thinks a little bit. When I see that horse thinking and actively trying to think about it, then I loosen up and I might take the pressure off that flag a little, let it walk a little. So the idea is I create a bit of worry, and then the same worry is that someone walking up with a flag or a cone or anything like that in your question. And I draw the horse towards it until the horse is thinking and softening in my hand a little. You can give your horse a little bit of a distance if it's really chronic on a longer rope. And then when it softens a little, you go, thanks for that. So basically, you're standing in a position that once upon a time might have frightened the horse, but you're not approaching the horse, you're drawing to start with to get the horse to go, I can go towards worry and follow the feel. And basically, the idea is when the horse is worried, it follows we offer it a feel through the rein, and in this regard, it's going to be a groundwork lesson, that the horse follows. And then when the horse follows the feel of the rein, it goes, that made me feel better, because we always want the horse, our questions or and our ideas are always a pathway to a better feeling, whether that be following the feel of a rein to the left and putting the horse back in balance or anything like that. And we've got to make that believable to the horse. So I create a bit of worry, draw the horse with a bit of feel until the horse is thinking about the worry a little bit and going, oh, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about the rein. I've softened into the rein and the idea. And you take the pressure away a little and say, thank you. And you just keep repeating it. And then you do a lesson, and there's a few online there on the videos where I've just got the worry beside the horse. And, you know, some are on mounting blocks and things like that. There's one I've filmed, I haven't put it on yet, of me creating a reasonable amount of worry to a horse that skedaddles and has the same problem with worry, and getting him to come underneath the worry on a mounting block. So basically, on a circle, you can start to add a little flag, but you draw with a bit of feel from the side of your horse until your horse comes closer and eventually comes underneath the flag or something like that. And then once your horse is good at thinking about worry a little bit and going towards it, or not just chasing it down and going, I've got to get to the worry and it'll disappear. You don't want them like that. You just want them thinking and searching and softening a little and then building up upon that, building on that. But the idea is it's not hunt the worry. It's about hunt the feel of the question. Some people think it's about following the flag. Well, it's not about hunting and following the flag. It's just listen to my question and you'll be okay. So then the next scenario would be you could set somebody up in a similar position. I've got a cone or another word for it is a witch's hat for some people. I don't know if they call them different things in different countries, but cone, witch's hat, traffic cone. They've got a cone in their hand and they kind of walk up to the horse. When you feel your horse get anxious, you just get them to stop a little and then you get them to draw back. And as they draw back, you take a rein. And you say, why don't you follow and look at that? And you get them to follow it a little. And then just work on an approach and a retreat system where you can get people with random things. But basically, you can't teach everybody to come in with a different thing and come at their horse at different speeds. What you have to teach your horse to do is set up a few scenarios where you can get it to follow the worry a little bit, like a young horse would follow cattle or something like that. And then eventually, you get so the horse can focus on it, realize, I can follow it till I'm closer to it. And then you can start to do it so the worry comes to the horse, but the horse doesn't run away from it, okay? But just build up on that, and it'll take a little time, but I'm sure, you know, they're tricky, those ones, because they say, no, I believe something's happened to me, because it has. And it's not like maybe something's going to happen. If the horses and the something's never happened to them, well, it's easy. You can just show them, I have the intention, I'm not going to take things and chase you with them or do this or hit you or do this. And the horse goes, oh, well, I trust people. I trust all their funny tools that they have, the strange things that they have all the time, but I can deal with it. But if something's happened to them, it's you know, there's a memory in there that you've got to work on. Thanks, Jakara, for your questions too. They're good questions, and I think they're good thought-provoking questions and for getting people to... Okay, from Mary, how do you recommend is the best way to start working with an off-the-track thoroughbred after they've been let down after being retiring from racing? I have a gelding and was told leave him for 12 months. He's also had some health issues. I've done that and he's looking healthy inside and out. Now I have to deal with the fact that he hasn't had anyone on his back for over a year and I haven't been riding, so have no rider fitness. Any suggestions on how to go forward from there? I'm bringing him to the 4 day in Victoria, so specific groundwork to prepare. Okay, so two things with off the track, well, any horses. The one thing I really think is important is head pressure. Realigning their head, their understanding of pressure on the head. And I do that with all horses. Okay, so find out how connected he is with you. So some of the lessons you can start with is, you know, just go and sort of stand with him and just be with him. And if he comes up and he's soft and he's interested in you and things like that, then keep that. Don't start lunging him or sending him around in circles and chasing him around and do stuff like that to warm him up or, you know, start working, because that'll only put ulcers and stuff back inside him if you fixed him all up inside and out. It'll just be the same stress that he had from the racetrack. But I like doing some leading exercises first in the ground. So once I've got a bit of a connection with him and, you know, he feels like... So if he's a little distant and disconnected, you can sort of, every time you approach him like he's a wild horse and just read his signs until he's like, you know, hey, I'm drawn to you and I'm interested in you, and spend a bit of time doing that in the catching process and things like that. But once you've got a holder on him, things I would start to do is I would start to lead him in hand at a distance and close. I like to do a lot of close leading where the rope's short, because that is a good way to gently interrupt the horses quite a few times. Because if they just start to see us visually and know that the rope gets like this, and if they move before it pulls, they won't get pulled. Then when you push on the reins and pull on the reins and, well, not push, pull on the reins and things like that, they still might not be very good with that. So what I would do is I would just get a little feel on his head and just start to rock him backwards and forwards. You might do backwards and forwards, a rock one step each way, two steps back, three steps forward. Make it a little random. Don't kind of walk in and walk back and walk in and walk back, so he just gets a rhythm of your body and starts to just go, yeah, I'll just rock backwards and forwards with your body. It's got to be good enough, sort of random enough, I suppose, that the feel is what he's listening to, not reading your body language. Because and with a horse like that, I'd do a lot of just, hey, step back, thank you, a little start getting him loose in the back up so he can put a little feel on his nose and push until he... So basically what you do when you put the feel on, you'll feel him searching and wriggling. That's fine, just hold the same amount of pressure. If he pushes, then firm up enough to show him that door's closed, that's not working, and then he'll kind of possibly rock back a little, and then when he rocks back, you loosen up, and then just get him kind of rocking back on pressure when you're at his chin and you're standing maybe at his, just in front of his shoulder a little bit, you're just getting him to back up. And I would do that a lot until you can just roll him back soft, and then from that back up, you should be able to come straight forward with your hand, because it's only a very short lead, and he should feel that and come forward, and you can just rock him backwards and forwards until it'll take a while, might take a few days, 3 or 4 or 5 days before you feel him getting loose and soft. But I don't think anybody does enough of that, and I know it looks a bit like, oh, that's not kind of natural horsemanship, we're not standing back there doing all these, you know, little signals and the horse is just picking up on it, and well, no, it's not, doesn't look like it from a, you know, but when you get a hold of a rein, and you put a bit of feel on a horse, you want to know that they're confident in that feel and they're okay with it, and they're okay with having a bit of a, you know, a couple of boundaries around them that they don't have to fight and push. And with racehorses, they've ran into pressure a lot, so just rocking backwards and forwards until you can back him up as far as you like and come forward, and then go back forward, back forward, forward, back forward, back forward, and he'll just go yep. And there's no nose and there's no braces and fights, and it's a fairly repetitive lesson, and every time you're leading, I'd be working on that. So before you walk off, pick up the feel and ask him first through the feel, and then walk off with him. A lot of times we walk off, and then if the horse doesn't come, then the feel's just like a backup. Well, no, it's not a backup. The feel is an important pathway, and to teach it, we have to teach it on its own. I'm talking about the feel, not indirect feel of us, the feel of the rein and the rope. So then when he's then we pick up a feel, get his attention, get him softening through the rein or the rope that you're leading him with, then you walk off with him, things like that. So you know the feel instigates that change of thought before he actually sees us move. Really, really important. There's lots of technical things you can do with that before you ride him, but I won't get you caught up in those. Some of the lessons where I get hind quarter yields happening and fore quarter yields off that pressure. But just talking over Facebook, I wouldn't sort of do that. I'd just encourage you forwards and backwards for a while. And the next thing I'd probably work on is getting him to drive from beside him. So instead of, you know, sending him away around, you say, you know, walk past me, and then I'm going to say, hold you with her, and I want you to walk forward and in a space where he doesn't just get away, but you just walk with him, and, you know, just with a halter on to start, you just walk with him, and then you gently slip back down his spine over his hip, and you can walk backwards and put a bit of feel on him so he looks back hard at you and turns towards you. And you would do that a lot of times on both sides, get him to walk nice long straight lines with you beside him, rubbing all over him. And then you just walk backwards, as in he's going forwards and you're walking backwards, just back behind his hip. That's his hip there. And then what'll happen, his head will bend around and he'll go, oh, I'll follow you like that. Okay. And you do that on both sides until he gets nice at looking. And every time you say, you pick up the feel, get him to look into the feel, and then rock back with your body. He might brace the first so many times, but you can sort of just walk back and say, well, I'm taking the rope anyway, until he goes, oh, wherever she goes, the rope goes, and I'm going to go. Until he gets more softer at looking, and then you slow down and say, now he's looking and interested and he knows you're going to go, then slow down and let him get more balance in the turn. And that simple exercise, just walking along, it gets him used to having someone beside him, again following the feel of the rein, not circles. Circles are no good. Good solid U-turns are really good to get a horse thinking around the corner, and because when you've got a racehorse that you're riding and they get a little out there, you want to say, redirect, new direction, thank you. Redirect, new direction, thank you. And then that's the best way to get a horse to come back a few pegs, is because you've sent them in a new direction and they've gone, oh, well, that thought that was over in the distance just got broken. I'm looking in a new direction and I've reset a little, and then chances are they're going to connect on that loose rein when you let them out. So you could do that on both sides till you can work from the hip, rub his tail, steer him, put a good backup on him, and just get all over him on both sides doing that. And then that could turn into long reining if you wanted to. So you could get two reins, and be careful if you're reining, long reining without anything around him, that, you know, they're going to step on reins and things like that. So while you're doing your run reining, you can get in different positions that you can actually walk around behind him while he's walking a straight line, and bring that rope just gently around the back of him, just around the back underneath his rump and tail, and just above his hocks, and just getting used to the rope there, and then doing a full turn around and things like that, and just getting that happening. And then the other thing is just getting to lead up to a fence or a mounting block, getting over him, put a girth on him, put a belly rope on him, gently do the belly rope up and let it off, up and let it off, until he's back used to having a girth around him. And then you can do all these leading lessons in a saddle. And in regards to your riding fitness, well, just get a little fitter. Some step-ups are really good, because a lot of people sometimes struggle. I don't know how old you are now. I don't know how good your body is, knees-wise and everything, if you've got broken-down knees or things like that. But something I see a lot of is getting good strength in your knees and legs, and just step-ups. You know, put your foot on the rail, step up a little, step down like you're stepping up in the stirrup, till you've got nice spring things like that, just get a bit more stretchy and just get a bit more fitness happening. So when you ride, you're a little bit more confident and centered. Obviously, there's riding fitness and fitness, but just a general bit more fit and things like that makes more people more confident. So, but yeah, definitely get on rails. If you hadn't someone had above him, it won't take him long to get used to it. I'd mainly get him used to new pressure and how to steer better, because that's one thing that they don't do that good. And then you know, just get him coming past you on rails and mounting blocks. That'd be fine. And then I'll see you at the clinic and I'll kind of give you some other ideas that'll help if I, because I'll see lots of different signs that I could sort of help you with. Cheryl. Hi, Mark. I'm slowly building a relationship with a young mare that came back from the breakers not wanting to go, putting her ears back, trying to bite, and a couple of occasions trying to strike. She was recently treated for stomach ulcers. Finally got the go okay. Rides through the bush and relaxed, and there is no separation anxiety, but I still find when I approach her with or without the saddle, she really flattens her ears and threatens to bite. I acknowledge her concern and wait for a change in attitude before continuing. She eventually lets me in and is actually quite sweet. I've been doing the guiding exercises while touching her withers and flanks, and she lets go of a lot of anxiety. That's good. And other times I've rewarded her with carrot slices when she lets me walk up to her and doesn't display worry. Is there anything else I could be doing? So everything you're doing sounds good. It sounds like you've used a positive reinforcement in there. I don't mind people doing a bit of that to help change the emotions of a horse. I'm not a fan on using treats to reward tasks as such. I'm a bit funny about that, but that's just a personal thing. But changes of emotions and on hard horses, to get them to, you know, change their emotions, sometimes that can be useful. But something I can't remember if I filmed it, and I think I did film it, and if I have filmed it, I'll put it up one day. But it's a video of a horse that was really pinny-eared at the Canberra clinic, and it was like I got someone over there to pop a flag when the horse looked at me when I was walking up to it, and when the horse went, "Oh, what's that?" I could walk up to it and went, "Oh, it was fine." But when it was had a hard thought on me, it was going, "No, no, no, no," because it got in a bit of a habit of doing that. Everything you're doing is fine, but some horses you can give them all alternative. So I had a horse that pins its ears to the girth, so I taught it to walk forward to belly pressure and stop to belly pressure and do different things, so it actually had an alternative, and then it softened to the girth pressure, which is kind of an interesting thing. But I would distract your horse sometimes when she has that hard thought, which means sorry, everybody, the wireless just went down for a little bit, but I think we're back. So I would, when I see the ears back, sometimes when I'm walking up, I'd just go distract her and step back, and she'd go, "Huh, what's that?" And then I'd maybe, you could still use your carrot slices as a reward for the change of thought, whatever, step back and just give her a little space. And just distract her out of that thought for a second. You can just pop a distraction into her. Or you could just possibly just walk away, but not in a way that said, "I've pushed you away." Just walk around somewhere else and come in from a different angle. And so some horses like that, I walk in to different angles. I might start from the tail and I might you know, just they might have got used to someone not listening to them and walking up to them in a certain spot. And everyone gets into a bad habit of walking up to their horse at a certain spot. Well, I'd actually walk up to different spots and just see. I'd just sort of, you know, if I see a horse that I think has repetitively got angry and even people listening to its signals, the horse is still giving all those signals, and it just kind of just lost trust or something, as I'll go up and say, well, no, I'm not going to walk up to you here. I might go back over here, and then I might go over there, and I might come back over here, and then I might walk up to your hip, and then I might walk over here, and get the horse thinking a little bit, and maybe it's curiosity and wondering what I'm doing might just get that hard thought away, so I could distract the hard thought, you know, hey. And that's what I did at another clinic. I got someone else to distract it, and just was trying to show you the fact that, you know, some horses, if you've ever been saddling a horse, you'll see it. If you'll be saddling them or doing something around and they get pinny-eared, and then a horse will walk past, and just as they're pinny-eared, they'll put their ears on and go, oh, what are they doing? And they're like, well, if you're that worried about me and, you know, anxious about it, why would you just kind of pay so much attention to why that horse was walking past over there? You know, those pinny-eared horses didn't know the horses walking past, but they'll be really hard and frightened about it. So sometimes I just got in a little habit, like we get in a little habit of that's what they did from the first bad feelings, and it's kind of still in there, and there's still signs in there, but it's not so bad that they they're really kind of going, oh, you know, this is not good, because they're easily distracted. It's just part of their personality, and if it's just part of their personality, then yeah, obviously you listen to them like you've been doing, which is good. You've offered other positive reinforcements there for good thoughts. But then you can distract those bad thoughts, be a little creative in the way you approach until your horse has got an old memory that might just disappear, because maybe it's part of an old memory in the braking where the braker didn't listen to the horse and it got a little anxious about getting girthed up too quick, or approach to, you know, different things. Approach too quick. Yeah, and I just try things like that. With the going forward part of it, I wouldn't use the legs for a while. By the sounds of it, it'd be a horse that would think back and get really angry. So you've got to encourage nice forward thoughts. So maybe, and there's a little pinny-eared, pinny-eared sort of horse that was stuck on a mate at the clinic at Wagga Wagga. And I just got the young girl who was riding it just to steer this horse, just not use the legs for a while until she got a nice forward thought, and then use the legs to get the horse to go. So maybe just use the reins just to get that horse to be not stuck on the ground until it actually goes, oh, well, I can't really stand here. I might try something else, and it might just go for a walk and think forward, and instead of kind of making it go hunt to keep it going, wait till it breaks its thought and just ride along with it. And just see how it goes, and then when it's travelling, then start to use your legs to speed it up, opposed to sort of get it to break a thought that's behind it. Use your reins. So yeah, that's just something else you can try, Cheryl. But thank you for the question. M, possibly opening up a can of worms. Everything opens up a can of worms in my books, I suppose. I like opening up cans of worms. They're fun. What age did you know? Down in Victoria, I heard this on the way home, that we have one of the world's longest earthworms down in that South Gippsland area near the coast there. I didn't know that, and I missed out on the David Attenborough show, but anyway, just thought I'd open up a can of worms. And they can grow up to like 3 metres long or something. It's pretty cool. What age do you start young horses under saddle, or perhaps what signs do you look for to tell you that a horse is ready to start? I know everyone has different opinion, and teach horse, and each horse is individual. So when I was starting a lot of horses, I didn't have much choice. I started 2-year-olds, I started 10-year-olds. Just took what I got given, but there was a couple of undeveloped 2-year-olds that had come through. I would tend to refuse a horse if it was under 24 months old, and some of the cutting trainers or the ones that wanted to send them to cutting trainers and stuff would kind of want to slip them in, and race horses wanted to get slipped in a bit young so they could get a bit more training on them and stuff. But I was always adamant that I wanted to make sure they were big enough. Now, obviously, the whole skeleton, I mean, it's six when the last when their back finally fuses, not fuses, but, you know, everything comes together, their legs, and then, so 6 year old is what some people say, but I say 6 year old is, think of it like this. What is starting a horse first? I think when people say you can't start a horse till six, they might be thinking work a horse. But you can get on a young horse and ride it. You can get on a young horse and teach it a bit. You can teach it to do some stuff under saddle. You don't have to do big stuff. You don't have to do long hours. You don't have to make it sore. You don't have to make it compensate. You don't have to put a lot of stress on its joints. But you can teach it a bit just so it's set up, you know, so you can build it a little each year. What people are starting to do now with money driving the horse industry and wanting to sort of turn over horses is they're starting horses young and putting them into work young, as in they're at futurities and racing by the time they're three and racing by the time they're two, which is not good for any horse, no matter what type of horse it is. So what I look for is if it looks like it's just a generally soft-muscled, underdeveloped horse and it's already 24 months old, well, it's not ready to be really ridden or carry someone. It could carry someone around a round yard or an arena at a walk and learn a few steering lessons and just get used to someone a little bit, but I wouldn't be working it or riding it down the paddock and cantering and down the paddock and up a hill and round the corners and things like that. I wouldn't be doing that because it's just too risky to damage that horse, too risky. Now, you got to remember, there was a horse that I started and the fellow sent it to me and it just was an undeveloped, really undeveloped little horse. And I said, well, you've sent it to me and you've got it in out of the bush to do this, but I refuse to canter it. I will start it. I'm going to teach it basics in the reins. So basically all I taught it was to ride around at a walk, steer, back up a little, not a lot, just find that feel so it's not frightened and it can loosen up. Walk over to a gate, open and shut a gate, take a whip, ride in a jacket, things like that. Open and shut the gate was just ride up to a gate, quiet and open, ride through. And I made sure that I got it up to a jog. And I gave it eight lessons. I think it was only just a little eight lesson, little kind of start. And I said, can you take the horse home and bush it? At least when you get it in now, it's had a good start. It was quiet. It was friendly with me. It was friendly with people. It was okay with people all over it. And then when it comes in as a three-year-old, maybe it'll have that memory in there, and what you do after that will be good education because the horse has already had that little bit of a start into things. So that was a very small start, just to get the horse easier later on when it's three, and a bigger, stronger horse with a bit more confidence. So I thought that was, okay for the horse. But yeah, as in starting, if it's a very soft-muscled, undeveloped-looking horse, and you kind of know what that looks like, then I would leave it a little longer until it looks a little stronger. Some horses are very emotionally, less mature than others. Some are like 2-year-old and they feel like 5-year-olds in their mind. Interesting horses. And then you get little ones that are just, they're 3 or 4-year-old and they're still very baby-brained and, aloof. And some of those horses mentally develop a little later on, but education's not going to hurt them, and someone sitting on them when they're not super undeveloped but when they're okay just doing a little bit is okay. But you got to reckon on hard work. So what happens when, well, what makes horses go lame and get sore backs and break down when they're sort of over 6 year old is it's that compensating, because someone's on their back and they're getting a bit sore and tired, so they're compensating and they're carrying themselves in a bad way. Working them too much on joints and everything that aren't ready to be worked like they are, because we're going to put more work on them than maybe naturally in the paddock. Carrying weight, I mean. So you don't want to get them tired, put them under a lot of work and excess work when you start them. It's just to get them used to some stuff, and then you know, like a bigger, stronger 2 year old, I would put it in a canter up a hill or something, and but I wouldn't do repetitive, like 2 year olds, I'd say to the owners, I'm not going to canter it on a circle, or I'm not going to canter on a tight turn, I'm just going to canter it in a straight line. I might trot a few wiggles and woggles and stuff like that, but I'm not going to, you know, start loping it in circles and things like that, and until it's just, it just gets better at carrying people and grows a little more later on. So yeah, but that's it. That's my impression on it. But I'm not a, like, oh no, you can't do it till it's, they're six. It's just, don't put them under heavy work. In the old days, I think, you know, through Australia, you used to hear the old timers used to bring horses in, start them as 2 year olds, and just bush them. They just bush them till they were, for a couple of years sometimes, they'd just take the edge off them, because a lot of horses were unhandled. So instead of getting them in as 5 year olds and having a big strong horse that they had to work, they'd sort of get them in when they were, you know, 2 year olds, get a good handle on them, get them just ridden, and then bush them. And then when they came in as 4 year olds, they'd tend to start doing some cattle work and follow cattle and work like that for a while. And but apparently those, you know, horses, those old school time kind of stock horses, they weren't really campaigning them and camp drafting and stuff like that till at least over 6, 7, 8 year old, possibly more 8 year old. So they'd have like a steady build up. And you know, there's obviously a lot of bad stories that might happen where they did put them straight to work and whatever, but I'm saying a thing that I used to hear a lot of was, you know, we used to just start them and then chuck them out the back paddock and bring them back in a couple of years, and then we get going with them a bit then. And I think that's not such a bad thing, as long as the starting isn't overload the work. Thanks for that question. Hope it's not too wormy. My large 5 year, Erica, my large 5 year old horse is injured. Truckload of tests, x-rays, past 3 weeks, so another 4 weeks in the stable. He's very lame on two legs. I'm going to go through all the 2 feeds a day. He hates it. He's usually in a huge paddock running with the herd. And the confinement is making him really unhappy, and he starts crib biting and isn't very interested in food. He's lost a lot of weight too. What can I do to lift his spirits while he's recuperating? Poor bugger. It's hard when they're like that. It's a really hard thing, and we, you know, I hate seeing horses in yards. Even at a 4 day clinic, it's hard enough watching them in the yards for a few days, and seeing them at stables and stuff. But is there a way of having some company with him a little more, like a quiet horse that's not a bully or something, or someone that's got a horse? Because I think if he's got a little company, even in a small yard beside him, I know the hard thing is that the company's got to put up with the confinement then, because if you take the company away and he gets really bonded, you obviously don't want him to get a bit separated and feel a little anxious and start moving around too much and have an adrenaline overload when he's that sort of, when he's in rehabilitation like he is. But I would try and somehow get some company with him that's not going to, you know, that maybe another horse might have to put up with a little bit of confinement for a bit, just to sort of keep him a little bit company, if it is the best for him, especially if he stopped eating and things like that. What you're doing is fine. Getting in there, maybe getting there as much as you can with him. See, I don't know the level of what he can do. I know some people put these playthings in there. They're like boredom things where they've got to find their food, and it just keeps their mind stimulated. But I don't know. Some of those, like, it's like those balls for dogs that the biscuits come out of. Sometimes I think, isn't that, it might make the animal take longer to get the food, or it might be, you know, but sometimes it can be a stressful experience because they want what's in there, but they just keep hammering at it to get it. And I don't know if sometimes it's actually the horse playing or stressing. Even dogs, when they do it, I'm thinking, well, just give them their food and let them have it. But, you know, slow hay feeders are a different story because the food's constantly there. They're just eating a bit less. But these things, they've got to kind of figure out. And, you know, I'm not sure of that. I haven't done any specific studies on anxiety when horses are trying to get some food but can't. But ones I see know that there's food there and they can't have it, tend to get stressed. But it does keep their mind busy. So people sometimes use it, but a busy mind that causes stress is not much good. So, yeah, I've never experimented, because I mostly deal with horses, our horses here, they're in paddocks, the ones that I watch. I've never had one in rehab for that long personally, myself, that hasn't been able to move. So I've had some pretty bad injuries, but they've always been allowed to move a little bit and you know, walk a bit around a paddock and things like that. So company, do what you're doing a little bit more, you know, get in as much as you can and just give him some of your own company, you know, bit of the mutual grooming, anything to take his mind off the mundane. But I think leaving him on his own is not good, especially if what's starting to happen with him. Obviously, some of those play, the balls that horses play with and throw around and stuff, if he's too injured to do that, and he's got to be quite still, and that wouldn't be a very good option. So I don't know if just taking him on a slow walk's good. I obviously, he has to move a little bit. A horse can't physically stand still for forever. So whether if he's allowed a small amount of movement, and you can rate his movement, and just take him on a little small walk, just very slow. Just take him, just so he's moving a little, and but if you can't, you know, obviously. Yeah, so it looks like, I can see in your question there, so movement's out. Yeah, no, you're just going to have a bit of backup. And I guess a horse has got to be on the other side, can't move much and cause him to move much. So somehow just more company, getting out there with him more. That's all I can really think of that's going to help him. You know, whether you get out with him more or he's got something else there that can keep him company just until the hard part of it's, healed up enough that he can do a little more. Sorry for that, about that. That's really all I got as suggestions. Erica, sorry, this is the bit of conversation after it. Yeah, he's not interested in playing with things. Yeah, just that there where you look up brain games to do, clicker training without much movement or something. Yeah, you're right. There might be some in there with clicker training. That's a good idea. I would say anything like that to get him stimulated and thinking, because obviously food, nice little bits of food here and there can take their mind off things. You know, when people are a bit upset, they eat because eating makes them feel better. And horses would be the same. And, you know, even in his food, like I wouldn't have things that, obviously, he's got to fight for too much that causes too much stress, but little doses of food. And then, like you said, mind things, just whether he targets things in clicker training, he targets that and he gets something and he thinks about it, as long as that's not stressing him too much, because sometimes we can do food reward games and can stress him a little in the searching process. So, mate, if you're going to do any clicker training type things, make sure, wherever you start with it, it's very easy for him to so I'm not going to go into that side of it with I'd sort of look into it with someone who's really good in the clicker training field, but little things that get him to take his mind off it, whether it be a little target something with his nose or anything like that, and but you obviously can't be there all the time to do it, so I would still work on company being a big thing. Right, getting to the next question. Burn. Hi, Mark. With regards to gaining some different speeds in the trot, the exercise you do where you ask the horse to go up and down the steps within the gate, then asking for more steps and they just go into canter. What would you plan to be to correct that? So I'm guessing with that question, Burn, he's not trotting as good as he could. So what you want to do is work out what I try and get people to do when they're doing the trotting exercise. So basically what I'm doing is I'm getting everybody to, getting the horses to find a trot, okay? When they're in that trot, we find out what trot that they're kind of comfortable in. They might have a little bit above the platform and they might have a little bit below the platform. But say, for instance, you set up a platform, say, that's their trot. From that platform there, you might say, depending on which way you want to go to start with, but some horses you might want to drop down a platform, some horses you want to go up. So Bern, you're saying your horse gets up to this point and then goes canter, but you might want it to go to a bigger trot without cantering. So something you can say to your horse, well, when I sit and ask for canter, I ask for canter. So your horse is at a stage, because I know your horse, that you wouldn't need to trot your horse into canter. It's not one of those kind of horses that are going to go, you know, wouldn't be always trotting your horse into canter. So he falls into canter, it could be another horse you're talking about, but anyway. So I would say, when I sit and say canter, sit and squeeze in a certain way, that's my canter. I want canter. But when I'm trotting, rise trotting, don't canter. So if your horse canters, you can just curve it back to a trot. You just take a rein, steer it tight enough to, if it steers at the canter and doesn't slow down, just slow it down with two reins and say, no, I didn't want to canter. But to get them to trot bigger without going to canter, get them really, really, really listening to the steps. So maybe spend a bit more time on, find the platform that your horse is comfortable in. So that's what I say, the platform you can always go back to. So you step back up to the horse's trot, which is its normal trot when it's in a reasonable good mood. And that's the starting platform. So you're starting off trotting in the horse's trot. And from that, you might go down a step. So you slow your trot speed just a little bit, not a lot, until your horse goes down a step. And then you go back up to the platform. And then you go down a step off the platform. And then you go back up to the platform. So it's down a step in the trot. Good. Once the horse is doing that one step down and back to the platform, always going back to the horse's comfortable trot, so you know that trotting rhythm and speed is the one that you're both comfortable in. Cool. Right. Down a step, up a step, down a step, up a step. And then you might go down a step, down a step. And that's a slow one where the horse is kind of thinking, oh, geez, I could nearly walk right now. But you try and get them to maintain that one. But before they crash into the walk, you might just get them back up to the step above that, so the platform's still here, so you've gone down to that step and then that step, and that's a slower trot again, and it's still a rising trot, but it's getting close to the one that nearly breaks into walk. So then from there you might step back up to here, and you get your horse firstly listening down the steps for the horse that wants to canter off down the steps. And then when the horse is listening very carefully and going back to their platform and down, 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 down. And then they're going, I'm really listening to that. I'm really listening to that. This is trotting. This is trotting. This is trotting. Because they're listening to your trotting rhythm. Then you might go to their platform and go up a step, back a step, up a step, back a step. Always going up and back. Don't just keep going up the steps, up the steps, up the steps. Just go up a step, back a step, and get the horse listening to those little steps. And little steps, it might take you a couple of days, you know, or a bit of time, but... And then you might go up one step, hold that step, up another step, hold that step, come back down a step. And you just slowly build your staircase by going down and up a step, down a step. And then you go back to the comfortable middle and see if the middle's still there. And then you're slowly building more steps down this way from the platform, which is the horse's comfortable trot, and more steps this way. Until eventually, instead of going up, 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 canter, it goes up a step, down a step, up a step. And then you go up a step, hold that step. Good, and you can hold a faster step without going, oh, I'm holding this step. And then from that faster step, you go up another little step and you just build gentle steps until your horse is tung, 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 really trotting, okay? It takes a little while, but if you build little steps and go back and up quite often, I think the horses do a lot better doing that. If the horse drops out behind you, you use your legs to say, catch my seat. If the horse goes out in front of you, you can use a little deflection, a steering in the rein, where you just go steer centre. But ultimately, the horses want to be on a loose rein when you're doing that exercise. So, yeah, thank you. It's quite a good exercise to really get horses listening, that one. Dawn, I'm really interested in how to get the head to teach them to lower their head and stay in the riding position for not, sorry. Yeah. Anxiety is what keeps a horse's head up to a certain level. Depending on the horse, if the horse is kind of anxious and thinking elsewhere and a bit rushy, then I'll take the feel of an inside rein, get the horse to think to the inside, do a corner, and the horse is kind of going ka-chink, whereas mine's gone ka-chink, and then I let out on it, okay? And I let out on that rein. And I give the horse a loose rein. I don't make it drop its head. I don't give it a drop its head cue because I want the horse to travel with its head in a nice, comfortable position. And you want to stay in the same environment for a while because environmental change can cause a horse to lift its head and look further until it's comfortable in that environment. Every time you do something with your horse, steering it, backing it, you want a full change of thought where the horse is thinking in the new direction, thinking backwards or something like that. That's really important. And then those thought changes get the horse to go ka-chink, come down a level in anxiety, and then over time, as you loosen and give a good slack in the rein, the horse will come out and travel a little lower. There was a horse a while ago that the lady who was riding it was doing a head-down transition, like a cue, and the horse would bring its head down, but it would always bring its head back up. So I said to her, I know why your horse's head's up. It's because it's looking at you and it's still thinking about you all the time and it's a bit anxious about you, so it's riding along like this, looking back. I said, you need to just trot your horse, because it was trotting, it mainly did it when she started the rising trot. I said, the thing you need to do with this horse is leave its head up until it goes, oh, I've had my head up looking at her for the last half hour and everything's okay. And I had to tell her to stop doing things, stop managing it all the time, because that particular horse, every time he did something, he goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? So we had to just ride it and just move around on it without having to make it think about lots of stuff and just ride it forward until it started to go, oh, and then the head started to go like this. And then what was happening is as the head was coming down, when she did the cue to get the head down, the horse would go, she'd loosen up, the horse would go back straight up again. But when the horse started to choose to put its head down, what started to happen was it started to come down and go, oh, well, I know I can survive my head up there. I can survive my head down here. Oh, I'm pretty happy and travel better. And it got more comfortable carrying her. Other horses have got their head up because they're out there somewhere anxious, kind of running away from us for a bit. And those ones, you might need to steer them and get them to follow an inside rein till they let go of a brace. Like a thoroughbred the other day that was here, I just was steering it at a very slow walk and I'd pick up the rein and I'd get it to think across and step into its turn with its inside front foot. And purely because that horse let go of a big brace, it just went, oh, I'm just going to walk around with my head down. Not down, but just comfortable. It did have some lowering where it went right down. But so basically every time you pick up a rein, you want a horse to change its thought and think in a new direction. And give away a hard thought or break a hard thought. Oh, thanks, Dawn. Thanks for that bit of feedback, because sounds like having more trust and not managing all the time. Yeah, well, if that's the horse that you know, I think maybe that's what I'd be doing, and just sit on them and let them carry you for a while till they get more trust in themselves. And as I say, more in a familiar environment, like an arena or something, that the horse doesn't have to think about too much, and then just be on them and let go of the reins all the time and get them comfortable. And then, but when you do pick up the reins, like a lot of walking exercise, so with your horse, to get the head down, or more not to get the head down, but to get the horse to hang its head comfortable, that's what you really want, is then when you're doing your walking exercises, you know, you go from loose, and when you do a turn, it's just a turn. I'm going to pick up this rein, I want you to turn, and then I'm loosening the rein. Not a lot of micromanaging with the reins. Center your reins, let the horse just travel without any left or right rein, you know, here and there to think about, and then just pick up a feel, center, relax, let's ride off. And and the next question, which I'm going to answer for Debra, about the off the track thoroughbred, is another one for you to think about too, Dawn, is because the backup is very important, okay, in getting a horse's head position better. Now, it looks like how do I teach my off the track gelding to back up under saddle? He does it on the ground, but he's struggling to get him to back up when riding him. Okay. I'd like to see him on the ground backing up. Now, firstly, is he backing up to the reins on the ground? So are you picking up? So whatever you're backing him up, so maybe actually Here's a lesson. Just get on him in a safe yard, not out in the paddock, but in a safe yard with the halter on. You're going to work him in the halter first because he's had a bit in his mouth. He's leaned on a bit, a lot. He's probably leaned on halters a lot too, but teach him to back up in the halter, back up in the halter on the ground. The other thing you can do is when he gets a bit heavy in the front end and a bit, just lift his head up until he gets a little stuck, and then he might just release through the shoulders and back his front feet. So instead of sort of pushing into his chest when he gets a little stuck, push up a little and see if that'll just fix him and just free up his feet and back up. It may be a little tedious, but if you keep on a little bit, he will get a little bit better at it. And basically watch his hind feet, and you might find another little thing you can do is when he's leading around you to the side, get him to lead past you and put a little indirect feel in that rein. Now, this is a little tricky lesson, but you get a little indirect feel and get him to step his haunches over, which means you're not chasing his hips over, so you're not chasing him backwards in the groundwork. You're not chasing his hips over in the groundwork. You're just getting him to lead around you. And when he's leading out wide beside your shoulder, you take a little, like he's got to be flowing forward, you take a little twist. It twists around, getting him to bend in, and then it picks up a little bit back up, like a twist like that. And you bend him in, and you try and get him to rebalance through the hind quarter, and he just gently moves his hips over. So you do that lesson on both sides and things like that. And that's another lesson to get him to free up his hind feet a little bit and get him picking up and picking over. So riding him, you could do a lot of lessons where you take that inside rein up to your torso, get him to bend. It'll cause a bit of a brace to start. He'll get a bit out of balance, but you wait in there till he steps his hind feet over, and do that, you know, 50,000 times each side until he gets really soft at stepping over under saddle and things like that. It's a really good lesson to get a lot of hind feet brace out of horses. For backing up on the ground, back up, forwards, backwards, forwards, to pressure, not to your body language. Make sure you can stand still and back him up forwards and backwards without you moving, and just your hand and your feel moving him backwards and forwards, so it's just the pressure backing him up. Once he's backing up really soft forwards and backwards on the ground and he's doing those little hindquarter yields, then quickly step straight on him and do the same thing. And if he gets a little stuck, you can take a little indirect pressure on that rein until he steps his hind over, and then you can try a back up again on both sides. The other thing is you just reset him a little. So if he gets all hangy and braced, sometimes indirect pressure might not help him. He might get a little braced. So I just take an open rein and I just step him over in the shoulders, reset the brace a little, and then go in and try again, and just keep getting on him and off him with the halter on until he gets comfortable with the fact that he's just backed up to feel in the halter and you stepped on him and then backed him up. But you might have a little lesson with indirect rein to help free his hind feet up if they're kind of bogging down and bowing and bracing when you're sitting on him, because he might be more anxious under saddle too. So if you step up on him and his anxiety goes up, he thinks about pushing, whereas on the ground he doesn't think about pushing because his anxiety's down. So if it's anxiety, then you've got to work on how you step on him and off him and sit on him until he kind of goes, oh, I'm relaxed, or not completely relaxed, but he lets down from this kind of, oh no, someone's on me state. So you might just sit up there, not do anything with him until he goes, oh, I'm okay. And then you might get off him and on him and do that for a little bit. And then you might say, now let's back up. When he said, I'm okay emotionally, I can back up now, because his mind will be the same as it was when he was sort of quieter on the ground. So that's just some things to look at to help him in that backup. But freeing him up in the hindquarter, freeing him up in the wither. So when you pick up the backup, he lifts in the wither. So a lot of people see me and go, why is he picking that horse's head up? I thought you're supposed to bring your horse's head down. But what happens is when I pick a horse's head up, they want to pick up their wither. Whereas I put it down, sometimes they just keep their wither down and they just bury in and they push. So a horse's head might go up, but when that wither comes up, then the horse's head will start to find an actual spot. So when I pick up the rein and lift it, I want the wither to pick up. And eventually the wither will pick up, but the head won't need to pick up. So you want to let the horse lower its head eventually to the height of the raised wither, not lower its head below the height of the dropped wither with stuck shoulders. So yeah, just something to think about. Anyway, thanks very much for all the questions, everybody. We've got to the end. I didn't know if we'd get to the end or not. There's a lot there. But then I realised there's a bit of banter there, so it made it... Well, first I looked at 17, and I went, oh, how am I going to get through that? But thank you, everybody, and I'll talk to you in a fortnight. I'll be on the road in a fortnight. I'll be somewhere in Victoria if I'm still allowed to go. Got all the go-ahead, so Anyway, thanks everybody, and talk to you in a fortnight. Bye.